Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayom Yizvachem Kuf Beis. We begin on Kuf Aleph, Amud Beis on the very last line. We begin with Akasha on Rav, who tells us yesterday that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually a Kohen Gadol. Starting from the Yeshivas Yimei HaMiluim, he was appointed as Kohen Gadol and was able to serve in the Mishkan like a Kohen Gadol. And the question is, Meisveh comes Akasha. Because in the following Brisa, it seems to indicate otherwise, that he actually was not a Kohen. So the Brisa begins with a question. Meisveh, Miriam, Mihizkira, as we know, Miriam, Maraviah, experienced a Nega. A Nega has to be attended to by a Kohen, who will inspect it, determine, you know, its status, confirm whether she's Tamei or not. So if you need a Kohen for that, the options in the Midbar were very limited. Who took care of it? Mi Hizkira, who sent her into quarantine? Im Taima Moshe Hizkira, was it Moshe Rabbeinu? No, Moshe Zaru. Moshe was a ordinary person. He was not a Kohen. Vein Zar, Royas and a Goyim and a Zar. He's not qualified to inspect a Nega. Rashi brings the Pasuk. Behuva al Arain. Right, he need a Kohen. So right off the bat, we see the Kasha. Here, Moshe is a Zar, is in contrast to Rav, who says Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. Okay, let's just continue with the Brisa first. Yom Tema, Aaron is Gira. Okay, perhaps Aaron HaKohen, the brother, took care of it. Once again, that's impossible. Why Aaron Karevu? Aaron was a brother, a close relative. Vein Karev Roya Esan HaGoyim, a Karev does not have the authority to inspect and determine status of a Nega. Rashi brings the Gemara Sanhedrin. We compare a Nega to a Riv, to a fight, to a court case, and just like a court case must be conducted by non-relatives, right? The judge cannot be a Korev. Likewise, a Nega has to be looked after by a non-relative. So that rules out Aaron HaKohen. Ella, rather, Kavod Gadol, a great honor, was accorded to Miriam at that point. Chalak LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Miriam, Ba'isasho, Hashem gave her great Kavod. Omar Hashem says, Ani Kohen, I have a status of a Kohen. I'll take care of her. Vani Masgira, I'll send her into quarantine. Ani Chalta, I'll confirm that she's Tamei. Vani Poita, I'll release her. End quote. Ketonim, yes. In any case, we just learned, Moshe is a Zar, and therefore, Vain Zar, Roya, could not take care of the Nega, Roya Sanegoyim. How does that fit with Rav, who says Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol? Answers the Gemara Ermar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. There are two aspects, two components to a Kohen. His ability to serve in the Mishkan, and that indeed Moshe Rabbeinu had. So that aspect of Kohen he had. But it wasn't in the genes. He wasn't sort of a natural born Kohen. There's another aspect of Kohen. For instance, inspecting a Nega is not work, is not, you know, Mishkan related. It's a function that a Kohen will do. Sort of a job, a role that he plays. That needs an actual Kohen. And that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have. And for that he needed Aaron HaKohen, etc. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak Shani Maris Negoim. The determination regarding the types of Negoim, that's different than serving the Mishkan. The Aroi Nuvon of Ksuvim Baparsha, the Pasuk in describing who's authorized to tend to a Nega, speaks about Aaron and his sons. You have to be in the family. And that certainly was not consistent with the Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, status. Maybe here comes another question. Chamish Simchais Hoysa Elisheva Yisera Abnes Yisrael. Elisheva, who was the sister of Nachshon, Elisheva, who was the wife of Aaron HaKohen, on that great day of celebration, the eighth day of Miluim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, she had five measures of joy, of happiness, more than your typical, you know, woman. Shchamesh Smachay says Elisheva Yisera Abnes Yisrael. Yivam HaMelech, her brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the king, was the absolute leader of Klal Yisrael. Isha, her husband, Aaron HaKohen, was a Kohen Gadol. Bina, her son, Elazar, was a Skan, was the vice president, vice Kohen Gadol. Ben Bina, her grandson, Pinchas, was Mashiach Muhammad, appointed as the leader who would lead them into battle. V'achia, and her brother, Nachshon, was a Nasi Shevet, leader of the Shevet. So five Simchas, but one major tragedy as well. V'avelo, Alshnei Bonea, she was in mourning on account of her two sons, Nadav and Avihu, who passed away on that day. In any case, the Brisa says, Yibam HaMelech. Her brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, was considered king. Let's assume. King, yes, but not Kohen Gadol. Melech in Kohen Gadol life. So we see he was not a Kohen Gadol. Answer is the Gemara Emo, we can say Af Melech. In addition to being a Kohen Gadol, he was also the king. Ketanoi, actually, this question of Moshe Rabbeinu's status is really subject to Machlekes Tanoim. Some maintain that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the status of Kohen Gadol throughout his lifetime. Others say no, it was merely sort of a temporary pass to, be the trainer, so to speak, during the Shivas Miyam. He learned to train them in, but he wasn't really a Kohen Gadol. Ketanoi, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu sort of, hesitated and refused to accept Hashem's offer, Hashem's mission to go meet Paroi and get Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Hashem expressed expressed anger. Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha Imer, you're meant to know, this type of phrase, this type of expression always has a lasting effect. Kol Charoi Na'af Shabbatera, whenever you should find this Lashon Charoi Na'af in the Torah, Nema by Roshim, you find disgust next to it, some sort of effect, some sort of impact, a negative repercussion. Rashi brings several examples. Vayicharaf Hashem, Yaakov Berachel, right? Yaakov Noshen Azif, right? Except for this one. Vized Lo Nema Bayroshim. Here you don't find a negative, consequence. However, Rabbi Shimon Chayimer, he says, no, actually, Avzeh Nema Bayroshim. Here as well we find some sort of negative impact. Shenemar, because then it says, Haloy Aroin Ochicha Halevi. Hashem tells Moshe, you know what? Go meet your brother Aroin, who was the Levi. I know he'll represent you to Paroi. He'll take care of things. The question is, why is he called Levi? Haloy Kainu, we know that Aron HaKohen was a Kain. Hachi Gamar, Hashem meant to say like this. Initially, you're going to be the Kain. He was going to stay Levi. But now, you lost that privilege. Hachikam, Ani Amarti, initially I figured, I planned, that Ata, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kain, will be the Kain, who Levi, and he will be the Levi. Asha, but now it's switched around. Who Kain? Ata Levi, he turns to Kain, and you lost, and you'll be a Levi. Okay, so clearly, he was not given Kain status. V'chacham Aymrim, in similar fashion, the Chacham say, Le'ya, Niskayin Moshe, Elo, actually, Rashi learns that they dispute. No, it was never meant for Moshe. At most, he was just going to be sort of serving as a temporary kohen to train in, the other during the Shivas Yimei Miluim. Ela Shivas Yimei Miluim b'vat Yesh Ayrim. Others totally disagree, and they say that actually, once he was given that status during the Shivas, he kept it for life, consistent with Rav's Shita. It never left him. It just didn't carry over to his kids, to the next generation. Shnemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Umoisha, Ishalikim Banav, his sons will no longer have that Kayan status. Rather, Yikoral Shevet HaLevi, they'll be called Levi. Vaimar, another Pasuk likewise, which says, Moshe Aaron Bekayhanav, that in fact Moshe Aaron are both regarded as Hashem Kayhanim, Shmuel Bekar Shemoi. Now, my Vaimar, why the second pasuk to prove the same point of the first pasuk? The answer is v'chitema. Perhaps the first pasuk doesn't indicate that Moshe was a kohen, although it only refers to his kids as levim, which would indicate that he himself was a kohen. But no, maybe there is a chesiv. The reason is because it's speaking later on. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. discussing as kids, and it's after Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime. So perhaps there was no point in going back and discussing Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's really no indication of Moshe Rabbeinu's own status. Maybe he was also only a Levi. That's why we need the second pasuk, which clearly calls him a kohen. Va'omer Moshe v'Aaron b'kohanim. Ask the Gemara. V'chol charoin af shebatorah nami b'rishim. Really, this term charoin af always leaves a lasting effect. V'ksiv. It says Vayetze me'im parei b'chari af. When parei sort of negated Moshe Rabbeinu, he left b'chari af. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu was very displeased. And we don't find any repercussions. He didn't tell him anything. Amr Shlakish, actually, he did Satra Vyatza before he left to give him a slap across the face. I asked the Gemara, really? Umi Amr Shlakish Hachi? Does Shlakish hold that Moshe Rabbeinu acted like that, sort of disrespectfully to Pari? As befitting for Pari? But the Pasuk elsewhere says, when Hashem instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to go meet Pari at the Nile, it says, "V'ksiv v'nitzavta l'krosay al sfas hayor." What does "v'nitzavta l'krosay" mean? V'amar Shlakish, with respect. Give him his due respect, not because of his lofty character, but because of his position. He's a melech, position of leadership, which mirrors Kaviyachal Hashem's leadership. He's appointed by Hashem. You've got to treat him with respect. V'amar Shlakish, melech. You should know he's a king. Despite all the shenanigans, he's a king. Express yourself to him with respect. And this sort of contradicts Rish Lakish a minute ago, who says that he slapped him, right? That's Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon Omar, just the opposite. Vinitzavta l'krosa means challenge him for all he's worth. Omar Rasha, he's a Rasha. Vaheyes panecha boy, go with brazenness, outright confront him. Says the Gemara, Eifach, we have to switch around the names. Rish Lakish is the one who says that you meant to treat him with respect, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that. Rish Lakish is the one who says that you can, just confront him for what he's worth, consistent with the fact that he slapped him later on. Amar Rabbi Yame. Okay, further on this topic, Lo'ilam te'ei emas malchus alach. One should always maintain a level of awe and fear to the king, regardless of who he is, regardless of his deficient, character. Yechsev, when Moshe Rabbeinu addressed Pari, the last time he says, oh, you're going to be coming running to us later on when there's going to be some makas, some fun, makas b'cheres, you're going to be running over. But he doesn't say it directly to him. He doesn't reference Pari himself running to him, even though that's what happened later. He came running in the middle of the night, right? Yechsev, it says, rather, your servants here will come running to me. He referenced the servants rather than directly to him. So we see that there's a measure of respect that's in place even under these circumstances. Rabbi Yechon Amar Mihocha, have another raya to this point by Achav, the wicked man, wicked king. Nevertheless, Eliyo Hanavi treated him with great kavod. So he found himself together with Achav, just him himself, and he ran ahead like as though he was serving him. Achav yada Hashem oisal Eliyo vayishanis masnov vayoros lefnei Achav. He ran sort of as part of his entourage to give him cover because of his position. Amar Ulo. Speaking about malchus, bikeish Moshe malchus. You should know that Moshe Rabbeinu requested from Hashem that he be given malchus. V'loy nosno, he didn't get it. Hashem didn't give it to Chsiv, as it says, Atikrav Haloyim. Way back in the Sneh, when you met the Shechina for the first, Atikrav Haloyim, don't come over to Haloyim, and Haloyim means kingship. Vein Haloyim, the word Haloyim means Elamal, Shunemar, as we find by David HaMelech later on when he expressed his gratitude to Hashem for giving him all those opportunities to be a king, etc. It says, Mi Anoichi Hashem Alekim, Ki Avisani Ad Haloyim, I'm so grateful for you for giving me Haloyim Malchus. Most of Rav, I have a question. Moshe Rabbeinu did not get Malchus. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yivam HaMelech. Look at the brayso that we had before, that Elisheva's brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the king. Apparently he had Malchus. Amar Rav, sure, he himself did, but did not carry over to his progeny. Loi Lazaru Kamar, we mean, to carry over to his descendants, and that didn't happen. Ask the Gemara, so again, the word halay means malchus for himself and future generations, the derusu. By Shaul it says, the lashon halaim. And we know it did not go past his person. It didn't go over to the kids. Who in, yeah, Zari, but his kids lie. We have two answers. First is, ha, hava ishbaishes. Actually, it did go over to his descendants, ishbaishes, who was a king for a short time. Another answer to this question is, yeah, when the king successfully experienced kingship, then that experience carries over to the kids and there's continuity. But if for some reason it gets, you know, aborted and abdicated due to something that he did wrong, like in the case of Shaul HaMelech, who lost the Malchus, then of course it doesn't carry over to the kids, even though initially it was meant to. Shani Shaul. By Shaul it's very different. It didn't really last until his lifetime. Consistent with Rabbi Lazar, the Amar Bachanina, b'shah she'poiskim gedula l'adam, because initially, yeah, when one is granted a position of leadership and gedula, it's meant to be continuous, not just meant for himself. Poiskim loy lazar, atzayv kaldei, meant for him and all his descendants until the end of time. Shnemar loy gora mitzadik eino, right? Esam lachem akisei. And the next words is the main thing. Vayishivim lo netzach. Okay, it just carries on for all time. But if he deviates, if he's rendered to be undeserving, if he's boastful and haughty, as the pasuk there says, "Vayik bahu," right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashpil, Hashem humbles him back. Shenemar v'masurim bezikim, tied up, yilkudun mechavli oini, and they lose their position of greatness. Okay, so in summary, we had a shaila regarding whether Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Kohen Gadol status. We discussed the Charoyin Af effect. We discussed Malchus, which was initially meant for the Melech and his descendants. In the case of Shaul, was aborted. We discussed Moshe Rabbeinu's status vis-a-vis Malchus as well. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Bali Mumin, Bein Bali Mumin Kavuin, the Mishnah says that even if Baal Mum was not really able to do Avodah, but he's entitled to a chelek, to a portion in the carbon, despite the fact that it is not really work-enabled, which is typically a requirement. So the obvious question is why? Menan Amila, how do we know that a Baal Mum is given this special perk? Tanur Rabbanu, we have a brisa. And actually, we're going to have three brises, quoting the words, Kol Zohar, even the Baal Mum is entitled, and it's mentioned three times, once by the Mincha, once by the Chatas, once by the Asham, each one teaching us another sort of layer, another level of this halacha. The Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa, Kol Zohar, all male Kohanim are entitled to a portion, the rabbis, to include even Bali Mumin, Lamai, pertaining to what? To simply give him the permission to eat a karban, if he's invited to somebody's meal, ilachilo, sure, why shouldn't he be at? Harik Par Omer, everybody says, Namar lechem aleikov, the yon of Almum, can eat karbanis, mekacha kadashim meichel. Elo, rather, the point of kol zachar is lechaluka, to entitle him to a portion in the karban. Tani, we have another brisa. Elsewhere, it repeats the words kol zachar again, the rabbi's balamum, to cover the balamum as well. And the question is, lamai, regarding what? Ilachila. To allow him to eat as a guest of the other kohen? Well, we already know that. Harik Par Omer. Ilachaluka, to give him a portion? Again, that's been discussed. Harik Par Omer. The answer is like this. Sheyachal, I would think, Ein li ela tam. Perhaps only a kohen who developed a blemish later on in life. Since he was born okay, so he's not as severely blemished, and maybe he's entitled, but suppose he was born a blemished coin, missing a leg, right? Balmumi Ikarai. How do we know Minai that he can get a chelik? Tamulayim Kol Zohar, even he's included. Tani Idach, we have a third brisa, Kol Zohar mentioned elsewhere. Once again, the rabbi's Balmum to cover the Balmum. Regarding what? Lama Ilach Ilach to eat? Arikvar Amor. Old news. Vilach Luka to give him a portion? Arikvar Amor. Old news. Vilach Balmum Ikarai. Is it to cover a natural Balmum? Arikvar Amor. It's been discussed a minute ago. So what's the point of this additional pasuk? Sheyachal, I would think, depends how severe the blemish is. depends how serious, how permanent it is. And the Ela Balvum Kavua, perhaps only a kohen who's permanently blemished, he's entitled. But Balmum Oiver, if it's just a temporary blemish, man, how do we know he's entitled? Tamalema Kol Zachar covers him as well. 1 second. Which way are we going? Klapi Laya, which direction are you going? If anything, a permanent Balmum is the more reason not to, right? Amrav Sheshes, Eifach. Yeah, you have to switch around the formula. I would think only temporary Balmum comes the pasuk and adds even a permanent. Okay, Rav Ashi Yomar, no. Stick the way it says. Lo Yilmo Yisev, you don't have to switch anything. V'Yisrach, the point of the Brice is like this. I would think, that only a kohen who is permanently disabled, so he has no hope of returning to the Avodah, so Rashi says, you know, compassion. Chas Rachman Alei. One off. Look, he's not going to, you know, be back, so it's either now or never. But if it's just a temporary blemish, perhaps he has to wait. Hold your horses. Wait patiently. Ki tummy, like a person who's tummy. Ma tummy, just like a kohen who's tummy. We don't allow him, right? Kama delay tar layachal. Until you become tar, you're out. You don't eat. Afainami. Same with the balmum. Wait until you're cured. Afainami. Kama delay miskan. Layachal. Until you're healed, don't eat. Kamashmullah. No. Says the pasuk, a balmum is entitled. Entitled to eat, entitled to get a portion, irrespective of the level of his mum. Kol sheni roi, but in general, we say if you're not fit for avoda, if you're a tame, you're a tful yayim, right? Then you're not entitled to a chelik. Veloi, really? Very balmum. Just a minute ago, said a balmum, despite the fact that he's deloi roi l'avoda, he's not fit for service, can't do avoda v'chelik and he gets a portion. So the halacha sort of contravenes the formula in the Mishnah, which says, no work, no food. Visu, another question is, let's sort of flip it around on a positive side. Let's take the formula and infer on a positive side. Visu, you mean to say that if you are fit, you do get? Haroi lavoida chaylik, you get a portion? That also doesn't work. Haroi tamei b'karbanei tzibur. It's a public carbon that can be brought when the tzibur is tamei. Even a kohen is tamei can do the service, but let's say it was brought by a kohen tar, so it's edible. And now we have a kohen tummy standing on the side. Who wants to have the roi lavoida? Technically, he's fit for service under these circumstances. Veinu chelek. Fact is, he doesn't get a portion. Well, you can, right? As we learned back on the tzaddik test. So basically, the formula doesn't really hold water. Mishnah says, not fit for work, you don't get a portion. First of all, balmum is not fit and gets. Then when you flip the formula to the positive side, well, if you are fit, you get. Again, the tummy is fit, and he still doesn't get. Well, roi l'achilu kama. The mission didn't mean fit for work. He's able to eat. He's fit for eating. Then he is entitled to a portion. As opposed to the tummy, he's not fit for eating. Okay. Well, again, that also doesn't work. Hare katan, the roi l'achilu v'ein achiluk. You have a katan, underage kayin. He's allowed to eat. Rashi brings a pasuk, right? And still, he's not entitled to his own portion. Well, says the Gemara, halayk tani. The mission doesn't mean that you should flip it around to the positive side. The mission is saying, look, if you're not roi la'achila, like a tamei, then you don't get a chelek. That's it. Stop right there. It wasn't meant to be inferred from. Okay? Says the Gemara, hashdas la'achila, now that you've come to this clarity, at the formula on the Mishnah is just a one-sided formula on the negative side of the coin, not meant to be flipped around. Loilam k'damar mikar. Okay, so then just go back to the original version. If you're not fit to do avoida, you're not entitled to a portion. That's it. Just the sort of negative side of the formula is meant to be applied. It doesn't have a positive side. Imishum tami. So then your question was, well, let's infer that if you are roi l'avoida like a tamei, you should... No, tamei like tani. We're not discussing that side. Not discussing anything that refers to a tamei. Because, again, it was just meant for like a half-sided formula. If you can't serve, you can't get chelek. That's it. V'mishum balmum, now as to the first question. Even on the negative side, not fit for work, not entitled to a portion, we had a kasha, because a balmum is not fit to do avoida and he gets a portion. Well, Rahman and Rabbi. The Torah express itself, especially for the Balmum, right? The words called Zacha repeatedly. Special pasuk to include the Balmum, he's an exception to the rule. But in general, one who is not fit, not qualified to do avodah, like a tamei, right? Like a yokatan, he does not get a chelik in the car. So if he's tamei when the yamaker of the carbon, he's out. Afilu tamei b'shas rikas damu, v'toyer b'shas hektech alav meini chelik. You meant to know that even if he became toyer later on, so during the phase of the zrika, he was tamei. But during the second phase, when they were makter, the chalav on the mizbeach, he was okay, he was already tar, he lost his opportunity. Says the Gemara, let's infer from here, ha, tar b'shas zrikas dam. V'tami b'shas hekti chalav. Let's say he was okay during the zrika, but not okay during the burning of the chalav. So phase one, he was good, but phase two, he was out. Chalik, then he gets a portion. Because the pivotal moment is the zrika, that's the kapara, that's the high point of the carbon. Mas nisn like Abishol. This is not going to work with Abishol, who says, unless the kohen is available during both phases, he doesn't get a chelik. The sani Abishol. Eimer lo ilmeni oichel. At sheitar mishas zrika. And the shasek techalom. From the zrika until the techalom. Namakro, the pasuk says, hamakar is damashlom. That's the zrika. That's a chelev. That's the burning of the fat. We learned afilu hek techalom. Namibo has to be available even during phase two. By Rav Ashi. Based on this, says Rav Ashi, I have a question. Let's say he was available during phase one and phase two, but he was unavailable in the middle. Nitma bin Taima. So the Zrika took place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he was Tahar. The Hekta Chalovim took place at night. He could do it at night, and he became Tami, let's say, at 5 o'clock. Ran to the mikvah, experienced Head of Shemesh at 6 o'clock. Now he's back in action. Available for the Hekta Chalovim, but he was unavailable in the middle. So the question is, as long as he was there by phase one and phase two, he's entitled, or perhaps it's one continuum. And in this case, since it was an interruption, he's boxed out. By Rav Ashi, nitma ben taimo, b'shas rika, b'shas haktor binan, v'ika. Do we require availability during phase one and phase two? And he qualifies. Or, ad sheheitar mishas rika, v'ad shasek dechalom. He has to be continuously available from beginning of phase one until the culmination of phase two, take it with even unresolved. Amar Rava is an interesting Gemara. I dina, Rabbi Lezer Shimon Gemirna. The following discussion, various kalvachayim arrangements, which pertain to our topic of unavailable during the, Zrika, unentitled to a chelik. So this following discussion, Gemirna, I have learned. The Amar, I learned from Rav Lezer Shimon, the Amar Beis Akise, who studied it in the Beis Akise, and the Mefarshim explained that he didn't say it over there, he just contemplated these things because he was so preoccupied with his Torah that wherever he went, he just couldn't help but, delve into the intricacies of Talmud Torah, of the Halakha Torah. And then he presented it to Rava, as somewhere outside, but it was originally sort of constructed in the Beis HaKisa. Interesting. Okay, Danta. So you can present the following Kal V'chaim arrangement. So we know that a kohen who's tame, a tvul yoim, let's say, even though he already immersed in the mikvah, but he hadn't completed his purification process until sunset, he's not ready for the avodah, and he's not entitled to a chelek. So he turns to his fellow, kohen, who was serving on that day. He says, I see that you offered a mincha today. Can I please have part of it? He goes to his fellow kohen. He says, I'd like to have a portion of the mincha. Amar loy. So his friend says, No way. Umaim v'moke shiyof k'chach b'chatoscha. I have a kal v'chomer to lock you out. Because even by a chatos, you, my good friend the kohen, your own personal chatos, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So typically, when a Yisrael brings a carbon, he has to allow that daily sort of rotation, that groove of Kehanim, to tend to the carbon and take the basar for themselves, right? But the halacha is that if a kohen brings a carbon, he can come up any day that he wants, and it's his business. He's makrib it. And he gets all the perks and benefits. He gets the basar, right? Even when it comes to your chatas. Right? So a chatas. You have privileges by a chatas. You bring a chatas, Mr. Kohen, it's yours. So despite your advantage regarding a chatas, still, dichi sicha mi chatas Yisrael. But let's say we're working together in the same group today, right? And you're a tvul yayim, you're not entitled to a chelek. I pushed you away. I rejected you from getting a chelek in the chatas that Yisrael brought today, right? As we learned back in the Gemara before, you have to be available to do work, you're not available. Certainly when it comes to a mincha, right? He wanted a chelek of a mincha, so he's going to try to disprove that. He's going to try to reject him from the mincha. So we know for a fact that by a chatas, in order to be entitled to a portion, you have to be available for work. Certainly by a mincha, he says, Malkam shehura kaychacha b'minchascha. Certainly when it comes to a karba mincha, well, you're weaker, Mr. Kohen, Rashi explains, because even if you bring your own mincha, you can't eat it. A mincha of a Kohen is totally consumed on his back, so you sort of have a disadvantage, a weakness by a mincha. Certainly, I have a right to push you away today and not give you a portion of the mincha that Yisrael brought today, because you're a tful yom and unavailable to do work. Ain't it then, of course, shedichacha, I'll push you away, mincha Yisrael, from getting a portion in the mincha Yisrael. Okay, so the tful yom responds, well, not so quick. You can't compare. And mincha tochatas. Umayim dechisani mechatas Yisrael. I understand why you pushed me away from getting a chelik in the chatas Yisrael. Because you have no advantage over me regarding a chatas. Shekashem, sheyafa koichi, kach yafa koichacha. Because just like, you know, theoretically, I have an advantage when I bring my own chatas, I can take care of it myself, it's fully mine. Likewise, you would have theoretically the same power with your chatas. So I understand that we're sort of on, you know, equal playing to the chenim and mincha. What right do you have to push me away from getting a chelik in the mincha Yisrael that was brought today? Shokashem shura kaychi, kachur kachacha. Well, just as I have a disadvantage, a weakness. Like we said before, when a Kohen brings a mincha, it's totally burnt. So that pertains to you too. When you bring your mincha, you have the same issue. So again, why should you think that it's so simple that you can push me away from a mincha today? Right? So again, he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. He meets his fellow Kohen. He says, I understand that I was a tful yayim when you offered this mincha, but I'd like a portion. So the fellow responds with a kal v'chomer. Ah, lamdus. No way. Certainly by the mincha, you're out. Not so simple. Oh, so who wins? Hari Yoyma. We have a pasuk which says that by mincha as well. La'koyin ha-makrav o'yisalaitiyah. The one who tends to the akrava, the one who's available during the akrava, he gets a portion. And therefore he says to his friend, look, boy, next time come along, ha-krav e'chal, do the akrava and you'll have. Not this time. Okay, so we have a pasuk for mincha as well. Next, debacle. Tainli mechatis Yisrov Oichel. Tful Yom tells his friend the Kohen, you know, actually, I see you brought a nice chatas today, chatas of Yisrov, I'd like to get a portion. Right? So it's night time, I'm ready to eat, please give me a portion. Amar Lai, so he says to his friend, no way. Once we know that by the mincha, you have to be available during the akrova to get a chelik, certainly by the chatas. Based on a kav chaymer, Amar Lai. Uma b'malkeim shehur ha-koichim minchaschi, even by a mincha. Where I personally have a disadvantage when I bring my own mincha, I have to fully burn it, I have nothing to eat from it. Still, when it comes to minchas Yisrael, that you were a tful yayim during the akrava, I push you away from a chelek, I reject you, like we said before. Certainly by a chatos, I have that power. Where I have extra privileges by a chatos, I bring my own chatos, I take care of it myself, that gives me an advantage. Certainly, I have an advantage over you in this scenario when you were unavailable. At the time of Akrava, Ein Adin, of course, Shadichacha, I'll push you away from Michat Yisro, from getting a chelik in the Chatz Yisro. Omar Leis, the Tvul Yom tells him, what do you mean? How can you compare? Maybe by the Mincha, you're right, but not by the Chatz. Umahim Shadichisani, Michat Yisro, I understand that you push me away from Michat Yisro. Shukashem Shuru Kachacha, Kachor Kachi, because when it comes to Mincha, we both have a disadvantage. When you bring your own mincha, you burn it. Likewise by me, so we have a disadvantage. By a mincha, the decheni mechatis yisrael, as opposed to chatis yisrael, shekeshem sheyafa kechacha, kachefa kechi, right? Just as when you bring your own chatas, it's your own personal carbon, you can eat it completely. So you have that extra power. Kach yafa kachi. I have the same power by my own chatas. So maybe when it comes to chatas, I have extra power, and even though I was unavailable during the akrava of the chatas Yisrael, give me a portion tonight. No, we have that pasuk which says unavailable for work, unentitled to a portion. Only the one who's available eats it, gets a portion. Boy, come, work on the carbon and you'll get, meaning you weren't here, you weren't available, you're out. Okay, so he's done with his attempts at getting a portion of a mincha, of a chatas. Here comes the next attempt, Amar Lei. So the Tful Yayim, who is no longer a Tful Yayim because it's nighttime, Amar Lei, he tells his friend, his colleague, the Kayin, who was around during the day, could you share with me part of the chazav eshoik, that's the portions that they take away from the, separate from the shlomim and give to the kohen. Amar lo, tein li mi chazav eshoik, v'oichel, I'd like to have a portion of that. Amar lo, his friends respond, he says, no way. Look, you can't even get a chelik of the chatas under these circumstances, as we have already established, certainly, from the chazav eshoik, based on a kal v'chomer. Amar lo, uma, since, even, b'mokim sh'yofa k'yichacha, even from a chatas you can't take, which is something that you, in a way, have an advantage on. You have an upper hand, in a sense, because, as we said before, if you would bring your own chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, nobody gets in your way. Nevertheless, despite that advantage, I have pushed you away when it concerns the chatas that Yisrael brought and processed today when you were not around. So if that works by the chatas, certainly when it comes to a shlamim, such as this one here, you have no right to demand a portion. Makayim, in a situation, shura kechacha b'shlamim, it's a shlamim where you have a disadvantage in a sense. Why? What's the disadvantage? Shein lecha behen alachaz v'shayk. Because, when a shlamim is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, all the kaihanim get are the chayz v'shayk, so it's a very limited access. So in a way, you have a disadvantage when it comes to this type of carbon. Certainly, of course, I have a right to reject you. Ain't a din, of course. Shadichacha, I will have a right to push you away, and you can't demand a portion. Well, the other fellow doesn't just let him go, and he says, what do you mean? How could you compare this to the chatas? Maim dechisani mechatas. Sure, I understand why you pushed me away from the chatas. Because I'm at a disadvantage when it comes to chatas, in general. Shikain hura koichi. I have a weakness. Eitzel noshai, va'avodai. Even when a kohen, a legitimate, kohen in a legitimate situation, when he gets a chelik of the carbon, chatas, can he feed it to his family, his wife and his servant? No. Hey, hura koichi eitzel noshai, va'avodai. My wives and my servants, I can't feed them the chatas. That's only meant for the male kohanim. So, it's understood that when it comes to chatas, I have a disadvantage. But when it comes to chazav eshoik, which I can feed to my entire family, including servants, all right, you have to push me away. Tadichayni mi chazav eshoik, sheken yofekoich, where I have the upper hand. Eitzel, with respect to feeding it to nyoshai v'avodah. So, you would think, he prevails. Says the Gemara, no, we have a pasuk, specifically, to disenfranchise him, to cancel his claim pertaining to Chazav Eshoik because he was not around during the Akrava. Hari Yivu'ayim, the Pasuk says, La'koye na'zorek, only the Kohen was involved in the Zrika or was available at the time. La'koye na'zorek, is that mashlamim? Lo'i! Yeah, he gets it. Okay, next time you're here on time, you'll get. Vay, Zoroik Vechel, come along and be part of the Zrika and you'll have. But today, you're out of luck. Okay, so after all said and done, Yatsa Tfulyayim turns around and just leaves. He can't get the Mincha, nor the Chatas, nor the Chazav Eshoik. With all his arguments and all his presentations, Kula V'chamurav, this is Kal V'chaymer in plural, all his Kals and Chaymers, Al Roishai, perched on his head, on the way out, empty-handed. And he has company, by the way. He's not the only one that can't claim a portion. We have the Oinein, who was also unavailable during the day, Mimini, on his right, has a whole crew. Mechusik Apar, the fellow who needed a carbon to finish his purification, again, was not available during the day. who attempted to come and, you know, take part, Mismailoi, to this fellow's left. So it's a whole crew, and they have to find their meal elsewhere. Paruch Ralachai. Now comes a question from Rabbi Chai. Fine, he's out of luck when it comes to claiming a portion of chatas, mincha, right? Lamele, but he can still ask for something. I'd like to have a portion of a bechor. Right, the firstborn kosher animal, which was brought today as a korban. I wasn't around, I wasn't available, but I'm here now. It's nighttime, I'm available. Give me a chelek of that. No, so the colleague will answer, no. Mishum do amrle, because he can respond with a flat out no, based on a kalva chaymer. If you don't claim chatas, certainly not a bechor. Says the officiating kohen, he says, look, even when it comes to chatas, where in a way I have a disadvantage, I can't feed a chatas to my family, it's only meant for the males. Nevertheless, I successfully rejected your claim pertaining to a chatas of Yisrael, which was brought today when you were not available, as we discussed before. If that works by chatas, certainly by bechor. Malkam shiyafa koichi bechor. Certainly by Bechor, where I generally have more power. The Kulei Diliu, by the Kohen who receives the Bechor, gives it to her, distributes it to his entire family. It's totally his. So certainly I have a right to push you away in this case. Ein Odin, of course, I will shove you away b'menu from this Bechor that was offered when you were not available. Well, the other fellow doesn't give up so quickly, and he responds in kind. What do you mean? Ma im dechisani mechatas? I understand why you can push me away from the chatas. Shukashem shura kechacho, kachura kechi. Just as you have a disadvantage, I too. So yeah, we're on even playing ground. Okay, but when it comes to a bechor, tadicheni mi bechor, who says you can reject my claim regarding the bechor? Shukashem shiyafu kechacho. Where, just as you have an advantage, you can feed it to whoever you want. Shiyafu kechacho, kachafu kechi. I have the same advantage. So who's to say that you win? Harei Yoimer, that's why we need a new pas to reject his claim regarding Bechor as well. Alas, you were there and available to work. Es damam tizroik, alam esbeach, veschalbam taktiv, upsaram yelecho. Only one who was available. Boys, roik vechoel, today you're too late. Next time, come on time, be around by the zrika, vechoel, you'll earn your portion. Now, this was Rav Chai's presentation, but Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon only presented a pasuk to negate his claim regarding a portion of mincha, chatas, and chaz v'shoik. Why not this pasuk as well? V'yidach, the other shita says no. This is not a proper source. Parach, he'll respond and refute. Look at the order of the pasuk. Miksiv, does the pasuk then say ubsaram l'koyin hazorik? The basar is offered only to a kohen who's involved in zrika, which would indicate, as you said, actually it says, go do the zrika, and then it says, ubsoram yelachoksiv, then take the basa, which sounds like anybody, afilu kohen acher. That's why, he did not agree to this source, and it was only Rav Chai who presented it as sort of an add-on. Now, the question is, this whole discussion, Rava presented something that I heard from Elazar Shimon, Bebeis HaKisei, asked the Gemara, how could one learn in an unclean place in a Beis HaKisei, unbefitting for the holy words of Torah? Vamar Rabba, Bar Brachan, Om Rabbi Yechon, he told us, B'chal Makim Utalahara, one is allowed to contemplate words of Torah anywhere, on the road, on the plane, anywhere. Chutz min berachatz, beis hakisei, except for a bathhouse or a beis hakisei. So how could this whole kal b'chomer arrangement, this sort of simulated debate, track its origins in the beis hakisei? Says they go lo itzay shani. A person is not meant to intentionally learn Torah in a beis hakisei, but when it's lo ines, out of his hands, out of his control. It's just second nature, Rashi says. On the bottom line, it means Shaysa Shmosa Shkura Bafiv Umaharba Bal Karchai, which is his life. Inseparable. Right? His mind is constantly generating words of Torah. So that is, you know, is permitted. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We had a discussion regarding the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was he not a Kohen Gadol for life? We discussed the kavod towards Malchus, irrespective of the individual character we're talking about. We discussed the right of a Baal Mum to a chelik in a carbon despite not being available, although typically only one who's available is going to lay claim to a portion of the carbon. In fact, according to some, he has to be available during the Zrika and during the Aktara. It was a question of whether it has to be continuous. And then we culminated the daf with several sources, several psukim, which teach us this very point regarding Chatos, Mincha, Chazav HaShoik, and perhaps even Bechor. All the best to you and much Hatzlocha.